picture yourself standing in the middle of a crowded stadium, and you're in the heat of the competition in front of thousands of screaming fans, and the majority of them are not cheering for you. Some of that crowd even hate you. They don't just hate you. They're letting you know why and precisely how much they despise you, maybe with even disgusting comments about you and your family. Well, that was my everyday life when I was a referee. My wife, Michelle, actually quit going to games with me. Because here's the thing. Haters hate on you because you're doing what they cannot or will not or too afraid to attempt. Criticism is really self-hate that's turned outward. Today, everyone on the news seems to be hating something. And if you say what the Bible says, well, then to most people, you're the highest form of hate because you're judgmental, because God is love. And I absolutely agree with that. Yet the Bible says there are seven things that God hates. Tonight, we're going to identify those seven, and what they are might just surprise you. Welcome to Your Home Group. My name is Greg Stevens. I'm a pastor here at Eagle Mountain Church, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and you're watching and participating in a live program. I have an iPad right here in front of me, and you can email your questions. If you're watching, first of all, on the network, thank you for watching on Victory. If you're watching on Facebook, you can put your questions immediately right there on the, just type them in. They'll come right here to me. Or you can text them to 682-302-1301, 682-302-1301. Or you can email them to me, askhomegroup@bvovn.com, askhomegroup@bvovn.com. It got confusing to me all of a sudden. So we're talking about seven things that God hates. I want to hear your comments on this and your questions. Joining me tonight, my wife, Michelle. You remember those days?
Yes, I do. Very
refereeing.
Vividly.
You heard all kinds of things about me, yes. Didn't you?
Well, or the one time we had to be escorted out of the town. That was not pleasant.
Yes, we did.
Yes. Wow.
And she still married me.
Yeah.
And here's Annette. Annette is with us. The original group is back tonight. Annette is with us. Cynthia, people were asking, where's Cynthia last week? Cynthia's here.
Here I am.
Here she is. And then Dale.
Good to see you.
So we're all back, and we're talking about a subject because, you know, the world's full of hate, seems like.
Oh.
Everybody hates something or hates somebody, or we're divided along these lines.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible talks about seven things that God hates, and it was real interesting to look at the list. And you can find the list. I had the list. It's right here. You can find the list. Where is it? Proverbs chapter 6. So
yes.
Get your Bible and join us right now. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, 17, 18, and 19. Who has your Bible open and you want to hit it for me? Dale, you got it?
Okay, here we go. These things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven is an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that divideth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren.
So those are the seven sins or things that God hates. Anybody have a different translation?
I got the New Living.
Okay, let's hear what it says.
There are six things that the Lord hates, no seven. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent. That's a big one. A heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got a different translation or different?
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving it to you in several different translations so that
I have the passion.
That you can get it.
Michelle has the passion. I'll go to a different one.
Okay, Michelle, passion.
Oh, okay. There are six evils God truly hates, and a seventh that is an abomination to him. Putting others down while considering yourself superior, spreading lies and rumors, spilling the blood of the innocent, plotting evil in your heart toward another, gloating over doing what is plainly wrong, spouting lies in false testimony, and stirring up strife between friends.
So that's the seventh, I guess.
Now
the last one would be the seventh.
Here's the thing. Dale, boy, I'm going to stir it right here, right?
Okay, good. Okay.
I don't hear anything about adultery there. I don't, the things that we consider the, what are the big sins? What are the biggies?
In our minds.
Adultery and fornication.
Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, all that.
Drunkenness.
None of those things are mentioned, are they?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. What I like that isn't mentioned is my name. Right? So, you know,
did you plan that all day long?
No, I thought about that coming over here. These are all.
Is that on his notepad?
No, it isn't.
Did he write that down?
It's not on there.
No,
but
that came out of his head. Right.
because we start hating people.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Dale this, Dale that, Dale this is. The Lord didn't mention anybody's names in here, did he?
He sure did.
No, he didn't.
He mentioned outward actions that come from the heart.
What I was going to say. These are heart motives, aren't they?
They're heart motives.
Because he always looks on the heart rather than...
Mm-hmm. The action comes out of the heart.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Anything that I dwell on and believe in long enough. Well, Brother Colton will get into that with your will. But anything that you believe in, dwell on, live in. Well, he said it here, evil imaginations, right? Mm-hmm. These are all heart level issues right here.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, remember, Dale, all of your life comes out of your heart. So all of these issues right here are heart level beliefs. Mm-hmm. And if I believe them strong enough, what do?
You're gonna
act them out.
So these are not fruit of the Spirit things.
No. Maybe a different spirit.
It's not a heart that devises wicked plans.
Yeah.
So that's where your adultery and everything else comes from, because you're devising wicked plans. And it comes from the proud look, the pride. It makes you selfish, it becomes that domino effect. So there is the drunkenness, and there is the adultery, and there's all the rest of it.
Yeah, all the stuff comes out of the heart. All that comes out of the heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But isn't that the fruit of what this is? Things like that are the fruit of
the fruit of this.
Yeah. Of this. Yes. So it starts in the heart, but then the fruit
or your
what
actions.
You see or what people judge you by is your fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Right?
Yeah. But there's a root.
But there's a root.
There's a root to the fruit.
Question. Can a churchgoer, a person that calls themselves a Christian, can they be these things?
Absolutely.
What?
Yes, you can. You get into that stuff because you're a flesh being learning how to walk in the spirit.
Arrogant eyes. That's describes a feeling of pride, looking down.
It sure is.
I'm better than you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Pharisee.
I was just going to say, that's the Pharisees.
That's the Pharisee that said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that guy over there.
And that's who he hated. I said that wrong. Those are who he come against was the Pharisees.
Who came against?
Jesus.
Jesus did.
He come against the Pharisees. He didn't come against the prostitute or the drunkards. No, he went and ministered to them, but he come against the know-it-alls. And have you ever been a know-it-all? I have.
Sure.
What do you do when you know it all? You got to always try to live up to that.
That's good.
So you're talking about having humility about you then.
Yeah, that's where it says, unless for the grace of God
there go I.
There so go I.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then you're recentering yourself back to you know, if it wasn't for God that forgave me, corrected me, instructed me and loved me, I'd be going down that same old path that I used to go down.
And still being Christian.
And still and not figuring out why my life is so bad.
Okay, if one of you has because I want to get this question here from Leslie in Las Vegas, and if you want to send us your questions, I've got an iPad right here. If you're on Facebook, it'll come directly to me, or you can text your questions on your phone to 682-302-1301, 682-302-1301, or you can right there on Facebook do it as well. Leslie sent one, so I want somebody to look this word up in that Proverbs, and I want you to look up the word hate, and I want you to get me a Strong's definition. Leslie in Las Vegas, thank you for your question. Here it is. It says, God is love and God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So why did they use the word hate? Doesn't hate originate from the evil one? Should they have not used another word than hate? But yet the scripture does say that, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
I mean, did it say it pretty much in everybody's translation?
Don't hate your brother.
In these translations, it says hate.
So we're going to get an answer. Everybody's diligently Googling or whatever it is they're doing to look it up. I want them to look up the word hate on here. Yeah. And I'd love to know what you think about that.
Well, this was translator's choice to use that word.
But now that's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that was written in there.
Yeah.
But it's not a hate like we think of hate with people,
right,
I guess.
Right. Maybe, I want to get even with somebody.
It's not that?
Whatever I can do to get even with this person, that's hate.
It's a heart attitude.
It's a heart.
Which goes to your mind, your will, and your emotions. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to clip here in just a second while we're looking this up. And we've got more that are coming in. Ronald and Mary both have sent in questions for us. We want to get to as many of as we can. Listen, we're live. We're looking it up right now because we want to make sure that you get the right thing. Here we go with clip number 6 here. Listen as Brother Copeland explains that your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. We'll come back with some answers for you in just a moment. Watch this.
Even as your soul prospers. Now, your soul is your will. The will is so important, vitally important. Your will, my will, has the power to stop the will of God in our lives. And God will not overturn your will.
Now, is your soul is your mind,
your will,
and your emotions.
But the most powerful part of that is your will. You can change your will at will.
But the mind comes first because you don't know to do that.
Yeah, but you have to renew the mind to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Now, but I want to center up here on the will right now. My will. What is God's will? I can't do much about my will about changing it and so forth, but until I renew my mind, I have to renew the intellectual part of me, the intellectual part of you, the part of us that contacts this intellectual world. Your body contacts the natural physical world, and your spirit, the scripture says, is the candle of the Lord. It is the entrance of His Word bringeth light.
Right.
That's the main part of it. It is not body, mind, and spirit. It is spirit, soul, and body. The spirit and the soul are not the same.
No.
The spirit man is the real you. And that's what's born again. Your soul is inside your spirit. And your spirit and your soul live in your physical body.
Now, that is a great explanation by Brother Copeland about your spirit man. And he said something about the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. They're the light of the Lord in your spirit man. And so when you're doing these 7 things we talked about tonight, we're talking about, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, 17, 18, and 19, the 7 things that God hates. Let me go over them again. Arrogant or haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil. Boy, don't we see that with protests and things? False witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. See, those are not fruit of the Spirit.
No.
So you're operating from darkness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, this and all of these are exactly opposite of the character of the Lord.
Yeah.
All these are exactly opposite of God, correct?
Okay. Yes. So what did the definition say?
For hate, if you go into Strong's and then you look further, you know, you could say, you could take this from Strong's and you could actually say, these are the enemies.
Enemies.
Enemies of God. Or these are the opposite or the foe or the thing that opposes.
Okay, Dale, let's drill down there a minute.
Yeah.
If I'm a recreated spirit, the Lord lives within me, then I can't have attributes that are the enemies of His presence in my heart. Now, he's not talking about your flesh here, is he?
No, he's not.
He's talking about in your spirit, man.
Yes.
Or your
the
heart.
The real you. Brother Copeland just said it, the real you.
Yeah.
And it's whole. It's complete. It's lacking nothing. Your spirit's lacking nothing.
Right.
It's all of God. But that soul,
okay.
you're living from the soul out of what you put in your heart to believe. Well, I don't know. You take it in, and if you dwell on it, you will become that.
Now, you said something a while ago that separating the difference between...
Separate behavior from person,
right.
Which is difficult to do if you're trying to get even with somebody. You can't do
it. Or you're some old knucklehead's
separate
always...
Separate behavior. Yeah, you just want to slap them. God just stays with us till we get it.
Yeah, like in the New Covenant, for example, God separates behavior from people.
Yes,
from the
he
person
does.
There.
Yes, he does.
Because in Hebrews 8, he says, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness."
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. So he he said, "You, Dale, you do have some unrighteous thinking."
Yes. So now, if this can be in us, these attitudes can be in us,
right?
It's not that he hates you and separating himself from you.
No.
These attitudes are going to separate you away from the blessing.
Well you're not participating.
It hinders you. You start walking in these ways, it's going to hinder the blessing. The blessing can't work in that.
See, here's what I see, guys. When I look at this list, because we want to pick on behaviors.
Right.
Here's a question. Let me just handle a question right here. Suzanne says, "Can a Christian drink alcohol or beer on the weekends?" Yes, and so can a non-Christian.
Right. Mm-hmm. The question is why
anybody.
The question is
yes.
Why you're drinking it.
Yeah. I know what you're asking. I don't mean to be flippant about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, of course you can drink it.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you can. I'm not saying you should. I'm saying anybody can turn a can up and drink it. That's what I'm saying.
Thanks, Steve, right. For you.
Appreciate you're asking, should we? But see, these, to me, what she's asking there is not one of these things necessarily,
right.
Till it's a heart thing.
That's right.
Right.
Right, because when I look at this, this is what I see in people. Arrogant eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood.
Right.
A heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evils. Maybe what you're talking about, a believer drinking beer on the weekend, is one of those things. I don't know that. False witness who pours out lies, a man that stirs up dissension among brothers.
Well, Paul puts it this way, too. You know, he talks about fornication and adultery and things like that.
Okay.
And he's talking to the Christians at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, remember that you'll not inherit anything from the kingdom of God. Right? So in other words, you're saved, but you're not participating in the correct
direction.
You're
asleep in the light.
Yes, exactly. It'd be okay, I'll just break it down street language. I'm married, right?
Yes.
If I'm having an adultery, fornication.
Jill, I know Jill, she'll hurt you.
And then, so I would not be inheriting anything from my relationship with Jill, would I?
No.
I would not be moving parallel with the position that I am in.
So
I would,
Dale,
be moving opposite.
How do believers get out of that?
You have to change your belief.
You sure do.
You have to get down to, why do I believe I'm proud? Why do I think I'm better than everybody else? You got to boil it down to the truth.
Because that's the way we're really only going to change society.
It's only that's truth. Right. That's the only thing that's going to change. And where is truth?
Right.
It's in Jesus Christ.
We deal
Christ.
With behavior. Change your belief and you'll change your behavior.
You change your belief every time, your behavior will change.
Yeah. Okay, so Ronald, ask a question. Cynthia, I'm going to throw this at you, all right?
Okay, I'll take it.
Ronald, ask a question. Hands that kill innocent blood. Is that talking about abortion?
Could.
That's innocent blood,
sure.
Yeah, I would say.
Is that innocent blood? You bet.
It's that innocent blood.
The Lord takes shedding of blood very seriously.
Very seriously.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Because life is in the blood.
Wow. Yeah. Say that again.
The life is in the blood. So if you take a life, I mean, look, from the very beginning in the garden, Cain slew Abel.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And God had to protect him. He said, well, everybody's going to come after me. But that was, he said, his blood is crying to me from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Life is in the blood. So yes, hands that shed innocent blood, those babies are innocent. And on another note, Texas just passed a law this month. That went into effect this month for that born alive, so that a doctor must take care of that baby if it survives an abortion. You do not want to be the hands that shed the innocent blood. That's not just a person out in the street that shoots somebody with a gun. It's any innocent blood.
That's right.
Any innocent, any human.
Any human. Any,
you know, he was so serious about blood that he gave commandments on the his covenant people how to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And to not eat the meat with the blood.
The blood in it, right, yes.
Wow.
And there are cultures that make blood pudding. It's made from the blood of an animal. That's one of those things that you're not, that you should not eat, because yes, the blood is so. And how important is the blood? Jesus shed his blood.
Yeah, there's
how wow. important is blood?
There's two types of blood mentioned, right? There was Cain's blood that was mentioned that cries out for revenge, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it talks about the blood of Jesus cries out for what, Greg? Mercy.
Yes.
So we've moved into the new covenant at that point. So if not for that, Dale would have to be shed, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Yeah. So we are talking about seven things that God hates, and it has lit up some screens here, and we want to get your questions, your comments, your thoughts on this. We want you to be part of the conversation. In the next week or two, we're going to give you some instructions of how you can be even more part of the conversation. We got a little plan. Can I give you a sneak preview? We want to make it to where you can send in a video question. Wouldn't that be cool? So if you want to be part of this, you can, if you're on Facebook, just go ahead and type your question in. Otherwise, you can text them on your phone to 682-302-1301. 682-302-1301. So we're talking about this subject. I know some other questions have come in that don't pertain to what we're talking about yet. We're going to talk about this some more, and if we get time, we'll get to them.
Greg, you know something? Just before you go, the person was asking about hate, and we're defining hate, but it says these six things the Lord hates. He did not say about hating people.
That's right.
That even do those things.
Right. It's in Proverbs chapter 6.
Right. Yes.
He hates sin, not people.
The six things that the Lord hates.
It says, this version says six evils, which means this is the darkness. God is
it's darkness. Not the person.
It's not the person.
Now, you have a footnote in there. Right?
Yeah, this is interesting. So it says that there are seven things, and the seven, as we know, is the number of completion. Right?
Oh, that's good.
So it says that this is the fullness or completion. The poetic form here is stating that evil in its fullness is an abomination to God.
Look at that.
Say it again.
Evil in its fullness is an abomination to God.
So these seven things are evil in its fullness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a great revelation right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Evil in its fullness. Well, we're not part of evil in its fullness. No. We're part of the Spirit in its fullness.
Yeah, that's
right. Amen? And that's the way we should live. So that's why we should push these things away. And you see this. Come on. You see this today in America. You see this on the news. And we need to realize that this is not an individual thing. This is a spiritual thing, isn't it?
Oh, of course.
Well, Brother Copeland just said that in the clip, that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You are the light of the world. You are a light unto darkness. And so when these things, if you participate in them, what it does is it diminishes your light.
So what should we do when we see stories about shedding of innocent blood? Let's call it abortion. When we see feet that are quick to rush to evil, we see this group out usually on the West Coast, and they're beating up people, and they got masks on, and I forgot what they're called. I'm going blank in my head.
Antifa,
yeah. And they're throwing rocks at people and just running to tear up stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
What should we do? What do we do as Christians? Because we have identified that these are things that God hates because they're the fullness of evil.
Okay.
So what do we do, Annette?
You can't go over there and fight with them. You cannot use their tools.
Right.
He gave you tools. 2 Corinthians 10.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 10. What are they?
He said, for the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, stronghold. They're operating out of some evil strongholds. Destroy, tear up everything. But us as a church have the responsibility to pray and break the power of that thing over them.
Yeah, now, but what do you do when somebody's done something ugly to you?
Well, you got to forgive that one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I want us to look at a clip from Gloria Copeland, and then we'll come back with more of your comments on this. You don't have to let something ugly somebody did to you come into you. Gloria Copeland, watch this.
You can bring it.
It's a wonderful thing to know. I don't have to bear that. I don't have to be upset and let something spoil my day because somebody did something ugly to me. Amen? Just let it roll right off of you and refuse to get in strife. See, that produces strife. And then where it says where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you that strife or being mad at somebody lets the devil in. That's where the evil works come from. So strife, which would be the opposite of love, which wouldn't forgive, which would be mad, is the open door to confusion and every evil work.
So if I get mad, I'm opening the door to the confusion myself. If I engage in it, what you're saying, fight the way they do.
Yeah.
I'm opening the door.
Well, you can do it, but you're in the fight now, in the wrong fight.
But you're fighting without your hands tied behind your back.
Yeah, yeah. Every evil work.
Yeah. Every evil work.
Evil work.
What is every evil work?
So, I mean, so that's no matter what it is. Now you've opened the door. It's like you've opened the floodgates.
Yeah.
Because it opens it up to anything.
Because you participate.
When you get in strife.
When you get in strife.
Mm-hmm. When you say every evil work, that takes me back to the scripture that says, the love of money is the what? The root of all evil. Mm-hmm. So what is the love of money? So you have to think about that, right? It's called greed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's a belief in greed, or the belief of greed is lack. Right?
Dale, it's really believing that he's not going to come through for me.
That's exactly right. So I got to get out there and fend for myself. If I got to fight this guy to do it, then I got to do it. If I got to take this guy down. So it all boils down to belief.
Pride,
it all comes back to belief.
Pride.
I have to protect myself. I have to fend for myself.
Yeah. Right.
God can't do it.
Right.
In fact, God won't do it. So where's my shotgun?
Right.
Right.
So I got to do it myself.
I got to do it myself.
Which is the pride.
Right. Which is these evil works here. Mm-hmm. It's all based in I have to do it. The belief is I have to do
it. It's in yourself,
God didn't
isn't it?
Do it.
Right. Yeah.
Huh? It's in yourself.
Yeah, it's all self-based, which is self-righteousness. I gotta meet all my needs. Mm-hmm. I gotta do it. Well, that's a perfect place for me to get scared, right?
Yeah.
You get afraid when you really wake up and go, you know what? I can't meet my needs. God meets them, and then you're humble at that point. And you start crying out for the Lord. So that's really what those people are doing that are acting out, Annette, right?
Yeah.
Is they're acting out of belief I have to meet my own needs.
Or change the situation.
I got to change the situation. Yeah. I've got to change it.
It's prayer that's going to change it.
Right? Prayer and love.
It's relief. See, I think it's 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, it's somewhere in the Bible.
Buy yourself a Bible.
That's my favorite. We're going to offer the Annette commentary. It's somewhere in the Bible. That'll be the answer to
it. It says that we are co-laborers with God.
Okay.
God's up here. He's empowered us.
Yes. But why didn't he come down here and do something about it, Annette?
He did. 2,000 years ago.
But I want him to come do something about it.
You're going to have to do it.
That's the mystery of the gospel.
You got to take his word and establish and release.
Yeah.
So that has to do with your authority.
That's your authority. His power backs your authority.
So that's how you combat strife, is you take dominion. Mm-hmm. You don't let...
You're being God.
I'm not God. I'm not Jesus.
But
I can't do
that.
You try
to act like him.
Well, what's the scripture? So what's the scripture say? It says, don't call Jesus down from heaven. Don't call him back from hell.
That's right.
But the word of faith is where? It's in my mouth. It's in me.
Yes.
God has installed it in me. So, hey.
So we need to be saying something, right?
We need to be
talking.
But we don't need to be talking like they do.
Necessarily to them unless the Lord's directing you to.
Or like they talk.
Right.
Okay, here's some more. Wendy, thank you, Wendy, says God hates the behavior and not the people.
That's
correct?
That's exactly right.
That's true.
He separates it.
Yeah.
Well, through behavior, we see what people believe. You're going to see what I believe.
There's a T-shirt that says this, keep talking, I'm diagnosing.
That's great. I love it.
We're going to have a whole new book called Annette-isms.
I know. I listen to people all day.
Huh?
What am I doing?
Diagnosing.
I'm trying to diagnose.
Diagnosing.
But if you
listen to people, you can help them with the answer.
Yes.
So that is true. Keep talking. I'm diagnosing you. So.
And then another key to do is I listen to my self-talk.
Yes, I do.
And I diagnose what I believe. Mm-hmm. And then I have to confront those things. So here would be some things. If I saw in my life a prideful look, a lying tongue, evil imaginations, I would have to look at myself and go, what does Dale believe?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Do I have any?
So I got to run herd
on
Dale.
I think I got to do that to survive.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, here we go. Text question. Thank you for your text. It says, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that hate in the Word of God means rejection. As the scripture said in number 6, that the scripture says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated or rejected.
That's true. That's good.
That yeah. good? That's yeah, a good that's answer.
Really good. There's four different meanings for the word hate according to Strong's. So that's probably one of them that I didn't look up. That's good. That's
are you
good.
Looking at more? I was waiting on you. I'm sorry.
No, I'm over here talking.
I was diagnosing you, Dale.
You were diagnosing me.
I was listening to okay. you. I'm
never going to forget that.
I will not.
No. Nope.
I will not. Okay, here we go. More of your questions and comments. We're on a roll tonight. We want to thank you for being part. If you want to be part, if you're on Facebook, just go ahead and type it in. We'll get it right here on the iPad in real time. Otherwise, text it to 682-302-1301. Here we go. More coming in. Another text. Oh, here we go.
Oh.
Cynthia, you ready?
Here you go, Cynthia.
I have a sister-in-law.
Bless the Lord.
Don't we all?
I have a sister-in-law who constantly creates strife in our family when she's around. I don't acknowledge her anymore at family functions and stay far away from her, especially when she's drinking alcohol. Am I wrong in doing so?
Probably not, because you might get upset and hit her. So don't, you might have to stay away from her. But again, here comes the answer is love. And sometimes you have to love from a distance, a good distance.
Yeah.
Stay over there. But you're stuck in those family situations where everybody is there. Yeah. And everybody's talking and whatever, and she's getting a few in, and now she's tanked. But you've the soft answer turns away wrath. So you've got to, you're going to come out of this going, oh, dear God, I know I'm saved, because you're going to deal with her in love. Keep praying for her. Don't answer her back the way you really want to answer her. You got some answers. I know, was it Wendy? You got some answers. Because I have some answers for her. But if you do that, it's just going to stir it up. And she's waiting for that because she's
unhappy. You think
unhappy.
She is? You think she's?
She's an unhappy girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love
she
conflict.
She is unhappy. She goes in there. She doesn't have any self-worth. Because if she did, she wouldn't have to go in there and be the unlife of the party. Because she
the unlife of the party.
The unlife of the party. Because she's causing all
probably
this
stuff. She is the life of the party, though.
But,
huh?
but the attention comes to her, even if it's negative attention.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
She
wow.
wants the attention.
Yeah. That's heavy.
Yeah. So you don't, you give her attention in a different way. Can I get you a glass of water now?
And I won't pour it.
And, you know, I won't pour it on you. You know, but be praying for her. And start praying ahead of time. You know those family functions are coming.
Mm.
And you
get we're coming up on the holiday season.
In the holiday season, Thanksgiving is coming. And you know that starts off good. And sometimes can
during an election season,
and
Thanksgiving
an election
is coming. Right?
You know,
we all have that
right
guy.
Behind it. And whose house do we have it at? And how is this? And then, you know, y'all don't ever want to come to my house. And that, and that, and that, and that. Because you're always unruly. We don't want to come to your house. So you come to ours. You know, and there's all kind of different dynamics. But the bottom line is still find a way to love her.
Okay.
Find a way to give her a gift. Bring her a gift.
Well, I think Brother Copeland addresses this in clip number 5.
Okay.
And he tells you how to keep this on your mind to love your neighbor as
and
yourself.
And sister-in-law as yourself.
As your sister-in-law. Here we go.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And as I started to say just a moment ago, every time I read that and every time I confess it, I end my day. I lay down in the bed at night, and just before I go to sleep, I say, Father, I love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. I love my neighbor as myself, fulfilling the law. And I love the brethren even as you love the brethren. Glory to God. Keep it on your mind. Make it a practice. Just do it all the time. And then when something comes up, man, you already ready.
You bring already.
It to himself.
What's he doing?
Yeah.
And then, what'd you say?
To himself.
See, when you're watching the clips, we're watching the clips, and we start talking about it before we come back to you. What did you say?
By doing that, you're bringing that to yourself because you're believing that.
Right.
You're bringing that in to be who you are.
You're changing it.
You're changing
yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that's a technique that you do it before you go to sleep.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because there's three scriptures to support that technique. One is, I sow a seed before I go to bed. Mm-hmm. It grows in, and I know not how. Mm-hmm. What? I anger and sin not. Don't go to bed on your wrath mm-hmm. unless it spring up and you mm-hmm. sin the next day. Then the next one is, good master, did you not plant good seed in your soil, or didn't you plant good seed in your garden? Mm-hmm. He said, yes, I did, but while I slept, an enemy entered in. Mm-hmm. So I practice what Brother Copeland practices every night. I mm-hmm. sow something mm-hmm. into my heart level zone mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. it the word's true. The word true or false?
Yes.
It's true. Right. So I am sowing into myself before I go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So be aware of what you sow.
Yeah.
What you leave on your mind.
So you're saying I shouldn't go to bed with the news on?
I wouldn't. Sleep. I never watch the news.
All right. Let me get to some of these questions. So many of them coming in. Thank you for being part of this. You really drive this program. We kind of pick a topic. And listen, here's the thing. I want to know for future programs what topics you would like to see covered because it's your home group. And so if you would, when you're texting in or you're making a comment on Facebook, tell me a topic that you want, okay? And we're going to do our best to get it on. Tracy, you're up next. It says this, I know from your heart the mouth speaks. So is a person really saved if they talk about doing evil? Even when they say they are saved. I don't know how a person can be saved and have evil in their hearts, but I know you're not supposed to judge either.
Their mind is not renewed, that's all. Mm-hmm.
They're a baby.
Yeah, they're babies. Some babies are 20 years old.
Yes, that's true.
Some babies are 20, 30 years old and right. still
39.
In church. Okay, yeah. See, she always tells on herself. She was a 39-year-old baby. And because you didn't get the teaching,
I didn't know.
And so right. you did not know Romans 12:2 that you needed to renew your mind.
Okay, so what do I do? Here's Crystal. What do I do about the person spreading the lies and sowing discord in my family? What do I do about them?
What my daughter always tells me, Dad, is words aren't always necessary. In other words, I shouldn't always approach it.
Address it.
I shouldn't always address it. I should pray about how to pray about it first, get a direction from the Lord, and then you can have faith on how to deal with it because you heard from the Lord. Mm-hmm. I've had situations like that before, and I was angry. And so I went to the Lord, and He said, this is what I need you to do. Mm-hmm. Pray this way. And then as I prayed that way, my heart toward that person changed. So when I saw them lie or when I saw them act that way, mm-hmm. I had a completely different viewpoint of them. Mm-hmm. I looked at them in love and I looked at them in pity. I'm going, my gosh, it's... And eventually the guy moved out of my life, right? And then 5 years later, he calls me back, hires me. I make $20,000. So I'm just saying that the Lord has always takes you...
You didn't shut the door.
Director.
You didn't build a wall or shut the door.
I didn't build a wall. I followed the Lord because if
maybe that goes back to what you were saying earlier about the sister-in-law deal. Mm-hmm. Don't build a wall. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Definitely okay to have boundaries.
So this goes to what you're saying right here. It's a text that came in and it says, I heard this at church. And they heard it from Patsy Caminiti. I heard this at church. To the degree you love someone, you hate what hurts them.
Yes.
That's good.
That's really good.
That's good. Yeah. That's very good.
That's good.
That's that separation again. You're separating what you hear or what you see from the loving that person.
Yes. Yes.
It's like seeing them from heaven's perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How does heaven see them?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I kind of see them with a monkey on their back. You know what I mean? Something that's driving them is separate from the person.
Mm.
So
okay, we've got some here that are really, and we've never shied away from the hard ones or from
controversial
ones, or there's sometimes you read these and I have to do a little heart check because I feel the pastor in me comes out.
Right, that's good.
And I sense the real things you're going through. And we've got a couple of those. Sissy writes in, says, I have become an alcoholic. I know the word. I know the world. Am I dying? Please pray for me.
Well, if you know the word definitely doesn't say anywhere in there that you're an alcoholic. I love you. So I'm talking straight to you, okay?
You deal a lot with alcoholics and addiction.
So, number one, you are not an alcoholic. So if you know the word says that you're in Christ, that you're a new creature, right? But you need some help. So, you know, you need to get hooked up with some good people that can help you rethink your life so that you can come to a different belief about yourself. Because
it's a belief issue.
You know, it's like the man in the scripture that said, you know, he has a splinter in his eye. Well, the splinter isn't the man. The splinter's the splinter. And alcohol is just a splinter. You still exist. You're still perfect in God's eyes. But we need to get you hooked up, or somebody needs to get you hooked up with a place and some people that will reinforce who you really are in Christ so that you can believe that. So you don't have to drink anymore. Yeah. Okay?
If you don't know him, you need to.
To know him. And to really know him.
And you need to stop calling yourself an alcoholic.
Yeah, because you're not an alcoholic.
Yeah. Start calling yourself free from alcohol. Whatever you got to do. But the more you call yourself that, the more you're identifying with it.
Yeah.
That's good. Because she's calling those things that be not as though they were.
She's got to stop identifying with what's trying to wreck her life.
So. But I have two scriptures for her.
Good.
Romans 12. 1 and 2, and Romans 8, 1 and 2.
Okay.
So Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, which means it's easy to do, because it says it's reasonable. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So first, your mindset has to be renewed. Before you start thinking about, I can't drink this anymore, let's renew the mind. Yeah. Start meditating on that. Then Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And this is something I heard Keith Moore help a man that came to get delivered from cigarettes with this scripture. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you, Sissy, is that what it was? You free. From the law of sin and death.
Yes.
Every time you go to take a drink, say, I'm free.
Yes.
Because that's what this says. And Brother Keith tells that story of this man said, I can't get free. I take these cigarettes and I stop and I go again. I can't get free. And he said, okay, can you do what I tell you to do? And he gave him this scripture.
Right.
And he said, now, every time you pick up a cigarette, when you light it, say this scripture. When you take a puff, he said, Brother Keith, smoke. He said, when you take a puff, every puff you take, say this scripture. Say this scripture that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Yes.
And keep saying that as you're taking that. And that man came back and gave a testimony that one day he picked up a cigarette and he said, I don't need this. I'm free. And really put down, ran back in the church saying, I'm free.
So he changed the name from I am an alcoholic to I am free.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So stop saying I am an alcoholic. You said you knew the word. Well, here's the words here. Give her the scripture again. What's
the reference? Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And then Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
So study out the word free and study out the word liberty because just take your, stop using I am alcoholic.
Yeah.
No, say this instead and believe this to the depths of your being, sow it into your heart every night, all day long. I am free. This is my name.
I am free.
I know the word. Say, I know the word. It says I'm free. This is my name.
Praise God.
I am free. I'm not trying to get free. I am free.
You know, when you say I am, you're actually saying what
Your God spirit
said.
Man
he
is.
Said.
Yeah. Yeah, you're saying what
tell,
he said.
Who do I tell him sent me? I am.
I am sent.
Jesus said, mm-hmm. I am.
Yes. I am.
I am the way, the truth.
And then yes. you are calling things that be not though they were yes. until they are.
Yes.
And you didn't make yourself. It says right here, he made you free.
Real quickly, somebody pray for Sissy. Somebody unction, pray for her.
All right, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I lift my Sissy, yeah. my sister, up. And Lord, I thank you thank in the you. Middle of her heart. You said that you walk into the hearts of men and you sow your seed. And this is your seed, your word that says that she is
free.
Mm-hmm. So Lord, I thank you,
call that, you free.
That you are walking yes. with her
thank you, Lord.
In her heart,
yeah.
telling her who she really, is. Really, mm-hmm. really, really is. And this behavior has dropped off of her because she's free.
In the name
thank
of
you,
don't
Lord.
Receive condemnation.
No, God loves you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Absolutely. You're so free. This is your home group.
Oh, God.
And this is what it's all about right here. It's not preaching. I've had people say, my favorite thing about home group is it's not preaching. It's not preaching. It's real life ministry.
Yes.
It's pastoral ministry.
We love you.
Thank you. Listen, this has got the floodgates open.
Thank you.
So let me just show you a mother. Sherry says, so what if I tell a lie to keep the peace between me and my spouse?
I've done that, so.
Yeah, what'd you say?
I said, I've done that.
Okay.
Somewhere you
had a different,
gotta come out.
You had a,
the truth
what?
Always rises.
Somewhere the truth's going to come out.
But you had a different kind of arrangement with your spouse.
Oh, dear God, did I ever. So.
He was a knucklehead, I think you said one time. He's in heaven now.
He is praying for me now. I prayed.
Oh, that's amazing.
I prayed for him for 50 years. Yeah. Now he's praying for me, cheering me on. How about that?
How about that?
But I did because I really had, I mean, yeah, I didn't have the courage to say the truth. That's one of my failures.
Well, okay. So, anybody else want to jump in on that? Well,
truth has to be done in love. You know, so I
speak the truth in love.
Speak the truth in love, but at the same time, if it's a covenant marriage, you know, guard it. You know, it's precious. It's precious to the Lord. And but I don't think a lie is a lie. A lie is a lie.
It is.
Truth,
no matter what
truth
you're
will
trying
rise.
To do.
Truth always comes.
It's going to come out.
Well, sometimes it's just better not to say anything. I mean, avoid the answer because, on the other hand, we don't know the situation.
That's right. True. Yeah.
And I was in a previous marriage where lying probably kept my life.
Okay.
You know, I'm not being really honest about it.
Right.
If you could tell the truth, there was going to be a knockdown, drag out something, and somebody was going out, toes up.
Somebody's going to the hospital.
You know, this goes to clip 4. Go ahead and finish that thought, and I want to get them to get
but
that ready.
If at all possible. Sometimes you can't answer. Sometimes you just don't have an answer. Because if you tell the truth, this is going to be a blow up. If you tell a lie, you're condemned.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just can't answer it.
Yeah. So be quiet.
Just shut up.
Well, if it's your life, you know, that's a different scenario.
Yeah.
But you don't just lie to lie.
You don't lie to lie.
No, you don't lie to lie.
And you don't lie to lie even if for your life. It's better to just not say anything. I don't have an answer for that. I just don't have an answer.
Look, we know what we did.
Be led.
Strive not. Lie not.
Lie not.
All right. Don't be saying things about yourself or anyone else that's not in the Word of God.
This is true.
How do strife and lying operate in your life? Kenneth Copeland, watch this.
Now, he goes ahead and talks about this, but I'm going to get to the bottom line of this. Verse 14. If you have bitter envying and strife, underline the word strife, put stars around it, arrows, something pointing to it. Strive in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Don't be saying things that are not the Word of God about you or anybody else. This wisdom descends not from above. The bitter envying, strife in your heart, descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Faith works by love. Strife is the opposite of that. But the wisdom, the wisdom that is from above, Luke 11:49, Jesus referred to the Word as the wisdom of God. This wisdom descends from above. He's talking about the Word. Is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of good fruit, without partiality. Anybody can do it, sinner or saint, because that's the way the sinner got saved. Right there. Glory to God. But look at this. It is without hypocrisy. When I say I'm healed because the Word says I'm healed, I am not being a hypocrite. I am confessing with my Father God. That's shouting ground right there. I'm telling you.
So I'm confessing with my Father God. I'm saying what He's saying about me. And when I do that, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. In other words, if you'll say the same thing I say, I will say the same thing you just said. And all the promises of God are yes and amen. So be it. The Father will say, so be it. And it is. Amen. And so tonight we're talking about seven things that God hates. And they're a little surprising. They're not necessarily what you thought they would be. And it's been a great, lively discussion. We have more of your questions and comments, 682-302-1301. If you want to be part of the discussion in the 6 minutes or so that we have left, if you want to text it, if you're on Facebook, go ahead and type it in. And I want to know what topics you would like to see in the future. Say, I want you to talk about whatever it is, and then we'll see what we can do about that. Okay, here we go. My husband has cheated on me. And is staying, make sure that she has nothing she can throw. My husband has cheated on me and is staying with the person he cheated on me with. But he still says he loves me.
He's confused.
Let me finish this. He still says he loves me. And I've been the perfect wife. Do I pray him home to get the demonic spirit off of him? I won't read your name. Give her some help.
Well,
Do you pray him home?
He's trying to have his cake and eat it too. That's what he's trying to do. You don't love two people, so that's out.
No. He doesn't understand what love is, right?
Love wouldn't do it. I mean, even natural love that don't know a whole lot about God and not doing that. No, you don't love both. And she's sitting there. Nobody's perfect. So, but whatever it is that wasn't perfect about you was not enough to put somebody in somebody else's house. You leave my house and you go to that house. You're not coming back to my house.
So how's
that work?
So with Scripture, it says this, let me see your faith by your works. Or let me see what you really believe. We really see what he believes. He might be saying one thing.
That's true.
But he's doing another.
But he's with the other one. He's over there.
So, and you don't know what he's saying to her.
Speak louder than words.
Yeah, you know what he's saying to her. Sure.
He broke his covenant with her.
He broke the traitor.
Yes. Yeah,
Bless your heart, sister.
And he called betrayal. He made a choice. Yeah.
He made a choice that
so we're going to pray for each and every one of you, and we will pray.
Yes.
We also turn these to our prayer teams that pray around the clock here and make sure that all of these, even if I don't get to your question or comment tonight, that is covered in prayer. Okay, let me get back up here. I skipped over some. Shirley says this, a man practicing homosexuality doesn't lose his salvation, but loses his kingdom inheritance. Is that right?
That's right. Because he's sinning against his own body. It's the sin of the flesh, and he's sinning against his
own body.
Yes.
It doesn't, God said, Jesus said, I come to live in you, I'll never leave you. So if he's a Christian and he's living in homosexuality, he is affecting the kingdom of God principles in his life.
Yes.
I think
we got a whole nother show topic that just developed right there. Because I'm going to feel this thing get warm right now.
He said he's never leave you or forsake you. If you tried to make your bed in hell, you call on me and I'll bring you out. He's not leaving you. So you're just taking Jesus in your sinfulness with you. Jesus goes with you.
Because we need to talk about that sometime.
When you go into that, he's with you.
The spirit that you're talking about.
Right.
Right there. Okay. What should be done with a person? Man, there's some heavy comments here tonight. What should be done when a person betrays, cheats, does fraud, and then throws you out like garbage?
Get yourself out of there.
off with their head, but off with their head.
We were working with I heard a good comment this week, and this fella said, I've been thrown under the bus before. So in other words, he had been through this situation before, and he knew how to handle it. He did it very gracefully and leaned on the Holy Spirit and realized where the person that had threw him under the bus was. So he continued on, right? And he's out from under the bus.
Well, that sounds like it sounds like a spousal thing, whatever. But what's going to free that person who got thrown under is that first they have to forgive them.
Yeah. Yes.
Then they have to go on and they have to work on their own self-worth and know who they are in Jesus and go on because God has a future for you.
Margaret says this, last one. Here we go. Margaret, we are to love people with the love of God.
Right.
But can a person trust so much that when someone hurts them, it's devastating to them? Is that then trusting them, or are you trusting the wrong thing?
If
somebody hurts you and it's devastating to you,
your faith.
You've got to recover yourself.
Your faith. There it is. That's what I was looking.
Your faith's in
and you've got to recover yourself.
Yeah.
You have to recover.
You
got to
keep your faith and your actions
in
God.
Jesus is Lord. He's Lord.
Jesus had to recover himself.
Yes.
And he pulled away and prayed to the Father.
Yes, he did.
That's the answer.
You can do the same thing.
We have been talking about, thank you so much, for the 7 things that God hates, found in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. And here's the thing. They were all hidden intentions and motives of the heart.
Yeah.
More so than the actions of the flesh. Yeah.
So what's the one thing God loves? If we're going to talk about
it. Okay, real quick.
What's the one thing God loves? Is people.
People.
People, people, people.
He died for us.
And why are we here? Because we love you. God loves you.
You're going to kick me out earlier. I got 10 more seconds. Listen, join us next week and we'll close this out right. Here we go. Let's do it together.
Yeah.
Right.
God loves you.
God loves you.
We love you.
We love you.
And Jesus is Lord.
Join us next week.